Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It should have been the biggest story last week, but it wasn't. Dr. Oz, head of Medicare and Medicaid, and the number two in charge of Health and Human Services, Jim O'Neill, were doing a fraud investigation in Minneapolis. They pull up to a building documented by Nick Shirley. It's got over $400 million a year worth of federal grants. But just even looking at the building windows shattered, it's clear there's no businesses in there. They never made it to the door. They never made it outside their car. They were immediately surrounded by spitting, screaming leftists, boxed in, threatened. Those leftists never left their side after that. They followed them around town. Think about that. Obstructing a fraud investigation through brute force. Again, that, not the church service bust-in, should have been the biggest story last week, but almost no one knows. And that is why Alex Pretty felt so comfortable defending a very specific address, the one he ultimately died in front of. And it wasn't because ICE is mean or a bunch of Nazis. No, that address has a very specific meaning to the left, and it's why they were defending it. Here's the number two in charge under RFK of Health and Human Services, Jim O'Neill, talking about what it was like to be menaced and threatened by left-wing street thugs.
There was menace. We got back in our cars. People were honking at us. The car followed.
When you can chase off a federal official in the middle of a criminal fraud investigation like that, I mean, Katie barred the door.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even want to argue about they can go in the church or don't go. Okay, whatever, I'm bored. This is the money right here. This is it. Alex Pretty was doing the same thing, Lee. We know that from the Signal chat that got infiltrated.
Mm-hmm. And involves Minnesota state officials as well that are participating in this. I mean, there's a conspiracy here.
Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, there's a conspiracy going on to impede federal investigations and federal law enforcement.
And we'll get to that in a sec, but I want to repeat what I said, okay? This is important. They were watching. There are 26 entries in the hours before mm-hmm. Alex Pretty was shot. Specifically for the address 2614 Nicollet Ave, which is right near the donut shop. As soon as ICE shows up in that area, Customs and Border Patrol shows up at the donut shop, they go wild mm-hmm. and they dispatch troops. Alex Pretty was one of the troops. His job was to block traffic, and he did. The reason they have him block traffic is they use traffic as a weapon. Number one, the ICE agent backup SWAT teams, the CPB backup SWAT teams that keep him safe, can't get through traffic because the cars are backed up. That's how they use traffic as a weapon. Number two, it provides space for the liberal lunatics to mob and block, right?
And then get their photo op.
Photo op, yeah. What's so special about that address, 2416 Nicollet? Why were they so obsessed with it that they, dispatched Alex Pretty? It's the home of 184 NPIs, Somali fake businesses. You look at that building, go look at the video. You couldn't put 18 real businesses in that building. They were watching it the same way they were watching the rest of the fake Somali fraud locations that they blocked federal investigators from. They panicked because think about it, Lee. What people don't realize, there's a big deportation force, sure, in Minnesota. But what they unleashed was a massive fraud investigation force that's tied to Immigration and Customs Services. That's why Pretty was there, to protect the fraud that funds these networks. Now, that you understand one part of the funding, that's you. This Fox News article, I would say everybody should absolutely read it. The headline is just very well done. The far left network that helped put Alex Pretty in harm's way that made him a martyr. So, you know, Fox News, Lee, is not a hardcore, publication. It's
no,
not.
No.
Listen to how they describe the groups who are coordinated here. A coordinated web of encrypted chats, street alerts, and tracking of ICE abductors. With so many participants that these chat rooms, they're organized by city council districts, shut down when they hit 1,000 online. And you have to be approved to join. They background you. So these are their activists. They're paid. Oh, yeah. These were hitting 1,000 by midday, by noon. That's how many they have. Over the following hours, a national network of socialist, communist, and Marxist-Leninist cells in the United States. That's how Fox News describes this. Leverage the tragic fatality into a nationwide protest operation. But before the shooting, Fox, the sophisticated database reviewed by Fox News Digital shows that agitators were already mobilized at the scene where 37-year-old Alex Preddy would be killed. They were protecting the Somali fraud with violence. That's why he went out there to block the traffic, to keep the rest of them from getting there. It had worked with Dr. Oz. At 9:50 a.m., they begin to buzz because these two agents are at this coffee donut shop, like basically right close to there, feet from there. At 9:50 a.m., just before the killing, a user identified as Willow shared a 22-second video about where they were outside Glam Doll Donuts. The video showed two agents wearing a vest marked police. They're, you know, ICE, Customs, and Border Patrol. 3 minutes later, they escalate the alert, summoning additional responders. Backup needed. Go to the Black Forest Inn parking lot on Nicollet Ave, and they're sending them out. That's why Alex Preddy went out there to block traffic, which is illegal, by the way. That was the first of his four crimes. And you can see all the posts, Lee. Multiple vehicles with many agents appear to be staging there. Okay, thing number one, Lee. Alex Preddy and the crew were absolutely tailing, stalking these agents. Yeah. Not the other way around. This is why we need a war room with messaging. Mm-hmm. Because the left put it out, he's just out there taking pictures as if ICE came after him. No. This was a multi-hour before coordinated response. They're sitting up on this place. They're watching it. They're protecting these Somali businesses. You cannot go look at the video. You can't fit 18 businesses in this building, legitimate ones, not 184. Tens of millions of dollars a year. This funds them. That's why they're protecting it. ICE Assistant Director Marcos Charles said Sunday that the violence in the streets was not a coincidence. No.
Well, he's right.
It's not. Video of the scenes shows that as soon as Preddy stepped into the middle of Nicollet Avenue to direct traffic, blocking it, fellow agitators could be heard blowing whistles to alert locals that ICE officials were around. Soon after, Preddy ended up in a street confrontation with CPB agents across the street from Glam Doll Donuts outside of Warren's storefront. So we've got them tracking them and dispatching their shock troops to stop the interest in 2614 Nicollet, which just happens to have a staggering 184 mostly Somali-owned healthcare businesses. You know, the kind where they pretend to be driving people all over the place.
Yeah, and, right.
Yeah. Cash federal checks.
Yeah.
One more thing, Lee, and I want to get you to react to this because this is the part that needs to be front and center because it's terrifying. Fox News writes, media outlets, including CNN and MS Now, described angry protesters, but failed to identify the ideological networks behind mobilization, even as protesters flashed their signs with logos and names touting socialism, hammer and sickle, communism, and Marxism.
Welcome to the revolution.
The Minneapolis activation marked the beginning of an almost instantaneous weekend surge by far-left organizations, including hardened socialist and communist groups operating in an ecosystem that national security experts describe as an insurgent-style operation designed to exploit tragedy. And we're going to pull Vivino out?
Yeah.
No. He stays. Huge mistake. Now, they're sending Homan in. Good. The signal is we're not abandoning this. But the problem is they're also pulling out a certain number of ICE agents. I tried to find it. Grok can't find it. They haven't said. You do not pull out not in the face of this. Because you either nip it in the bud now. Lee, if we get these activists, it's 1,000 a sector. I know there's a lot of them. We may need the military, National Guard, something to help us. This stops because it's the same people, city after city. Yeah. And it was, they're reporting, these same networks were used to coordinate the protests within 12 hours of the arrest of the U.S. arrest of Venezuelan strongman Nicolas Maduro in early January. You know the ones where they're chanting for Kristi Noem to be hung?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't hang her, but they got the next best thing. They won. Okay. Here's this is the part that's going to blow your mind. This is what I want you to react to, Lee, okay?
Okay.
Propagandists for socialist groups, including Breakthrough News, the Party for Socialism and Liberation, and the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, this is Fox News reporting, sprang into action to demonize federal officials after Alex Preti's killing. Based on a digital analysis of scores of rapid response messages following the killing, they act as a hub of communist and socialist nonprofit organizations, many of them funded by American-born billionaire Neville Roy Singham, a self-declared Marxist-Leninist living in Shanghai. Yeah. He was never a billionaire when he went to Shanghai before. What they're doing is he's American-born, so he can pump the Chinese Communist Party money into these groups.
Right. We're getting Shanghai.
We are. This is a Marxist revolution, yes. Literally led in the streets by the Democrats' number one ally who paid the big guy 10%, China.
Well, you have long been pointing out to the financial ties between the Democrat Party officials and the Chinese Communist Party.
Yeah. And China's chief ally, of course, the Middle East, Iran, is funding these street protests, too. You got to understand, when Democrats are in power, China is allied with them. They want a communist America. They want a dictatorship. So does the Democrats. The best way to get it's these illegal immigrants. You amnesty them, it ends.
And you've got national media here in this country running cover for it,
yes,
to hide this.
To hide it. The Trump administration should be on the ground, yeah, every single day. Because here's the thing.
Send Stephen Miller in.
Somebody.
He would be good.
J.D. Vance for one day last week.
Yeah, that was good.
He did a great job.
Yes.
Then it's like, I'll move on. No, these people are highly, highly organized.
Yes. And financed, well financed. There is nothing grassroots about this. This is a coordinated, Democrat-led and funded insurrection.
You know who needs to be on this? All hands on deck. CIA, Director of National Intelligence. We need to cut this funding off. Sending J.D. Vance in for a day and going, hey, you know, Greg Bovino mentioned some stuff on his X feed. And then if we don't like how he did, he's not even a PR guy. We're like, oh, well, we'll just fire him. They win. No, the Trump administration is in over their head. But here's what's so sad. What I just read you is an amazing opportunity for the American people to learn who the left really is.
Yep.
We're messing it. We're
got to get ahead of the narrative here.
We're in Davos.
Those things are important too. But we can do multiple things at one time. But there has got to be a better job of this administration in coordinating the corrective narrative about what's going on. Yes, you're right. Absolutely.
We need focus groups.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have it. Yep. Their talking points are set. And their talking points are just so stupid. ICE is out there picking up brown and black people.
Yeah, just randomly shooting people and picking up people and innocents and children are being arrested. It's like, no, none of this is – you are taking individual instances and misidentifying what's going on and not even telling the truth about the circumstances on the ground. And yet you've got the American media participating in this because they want to. This is ratings fodder for CNN, MS Now, or Then, or whenever it was. And this is not going to stop anytime soon.
No.
They got to get ahead of this.
This is our chance to show the American people, Democrats, they're communists. They intend a full-on Marxist revolution. That this is how the streets of every city in this country are going to look and run. The thugs are going to run the streets. The police will be held back. If we end up with a one-party system and all it takes is one amnesty vote. And that is why they are fighting so hard. Amnesty would be a pathway to citizenship for the illegals with voting. We go to almost 100% blue states, couple of purples, and we live in a communist dictatorship. That's why they're fighting this hard. They are this close. And we can't even set up a war room. Gah.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's some Holocaust type stuff. And Frank and all. Here's Democrat Governor Tim Walz. Lunatic.
We have got children in Minnesota hiding in their houses, afraid to go outside. Many of us grew up reading that story of Anne Frank. Somebody's going to write that children's story about Minnesota.
And they will. When the children of half the country have to hide in their own homes after the Marxist Revolution. When you're reading about this in Fox News, Neville Singman, an American avowed Marxist, moves to Shanghai, China. And because he's an American, he can donate. They're funneling the money through him. We know this. Fox News is talking about it. All of these rapid response, or a lot of the key parts of the network of the rapid response hub, are funded by him out of China. This is a Communist Party, folks. They are, quote, from Fox News, a national network of socialist, communist, and Marxist-Leninist cells in the United States. Eric Schwalm is a former Green Beret. God bless him. Served in Anbar province. He's seen this before. His post over the weekend did 17 million views. Let me read it to you. What's unfolding in Minneapolis right now isn't protest. It's low-level insurgency infrastructure built by people who've clearly studied the playbook. As a former Special Forces warrant officer in multiple rotations running through counterinsurgency ops, both hunting insurgents and trying to separate them from sympathetic populations, he writes, I've seen organized resistance up close from Anbar to Helmand provinces. The pattern is familiar. Spotters, cutouts, dead drops, or the modern equivalents, disciplined communications, which Trump does not have, role specialization, and a willingness to absorb casualties while bleeding the stronger force slowly. So he's talking about these signal groups that the Democrats are using, including, by the way, all the way on up to the lieutenant governor, number two in charge of the state, and staff members at Tim Walz. Signal groups at 1,000 member caps per zone. This, folks, when you look at the number of city council districts, it's 12. That's an army of 12,000 people in Minneapolis. And what was our plan? Skip off to Davos after saying some stuff and some truth posts? Signal groups at 1,000 member cap per zone. There's 12 zones. And folks, they max out by noon. The chat automatically shuts down. And it'll regenerate itself to keep too many people from coming in so their activities can't be observed. You have to be background checked to get into the chat. Can you imagine just what the background checks cost? This is mega money. This is why I said the CIA's got to be involved. Somebody texted me. They can't operate on American soil. Oh, they can operate off our country, offshore, in those bank accounts. Go after the wiring. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I'm going to break this whole thing down. I got to read this. This is a full-on Marxist revolution. Signal chats at 1,000 member cap per zone, dedicated roles, mobile chasers, license plate checkers, logging vehicle data into shared databases, 24/7 dispatch nodes, vectoring assets, salute style reporting. This is what I told you. They have become the police as the police are held back. Oh, and they were caught in the signal chats coordinating with the police. Salute style reporting. By the way, that's military software. You could buy it commercial now, but it's salute style reporting, which is size, activity, location, unit, time, equipment. This is what terror groups were doing in these provinces, the insurgents. Salute style reporting on suspected federal vehicles, daily chat rotation, time deletions to frustrate forensic recovery of their chats, vetting processes for new joiners, mutual aid from sympathetic locals. There's teachers providing cover. Police department tip-offs on license plate lookups, home-based coordinating points. Listen to this. He says, this isn't spontaneous outrage over ICE. This is C2, command and control, with redundancy. If you're just tuning in, this is a Green Beret looking at this and saying, this is a remarkably similar insurgency system to what the insurgencies, these ISIS, Al-Qaeda groups were running in Iraq and Afghanistan. He says, replace ICE agents with occupying coalition forces, and the structure maps almost one-to-one to early stage urban cells we hunted in the mid-2000s. Fallujah. I keep telling you, what do I keep saying? Fallujah, the perfect example. The most sobering part, he says, Green Beret, it's domestic. funded, trained somewhere, and directed by people who live in the same country they're trying to paralyze law enforcement in. When your own citizens build and operate this level of parallel intelligence and rapid response network against federal officers, complete with doxing, vehicle pursuits, and harassment that's already turned lethal, you're no longer dealing with civil disobedience. You're facing a distributed resistance that's learned the lessons of successful insurgencies. Stay below the kinetic threshold most of the time. Force over reaction when possible. Maintain popular support through narrative and never present a single center of gravity. He said, I spent years training partner forces to dismantle exactly this kind of apparatus in the Middle East. Now pieces of it are landing up in America, are standing up in American cities, enabled by elements of local government and civil society. That should keep every thinking American awake at night. Not because I want escalation, but because history shows, listen to this, these things don't de-escalate on their own once the infrastructure exists and the cadre believe they're winning the information war. They are. We either recognize what we're actually looking at or we pretend it's still just activism until the structures harden and spread. Your call, America. But from where I sit, this isn't January 2026 politics anymore. It's phase one of something we spent decades trying to keep off our own soil. Right here, folks, here's a Fox News article. Read all about it. The funding by the Communist Party. Where is the CIA? Where is the DNI? Where is the response to this? Trump putting out a few Truth Social posts and leaving the communication strategy to a woman who shot her dog and Greg Bovino on his X feed. Folks, we are so outclassed. We need focus groups. We need war rooms. If nothing else, then to communicate the response. We are losing and pulling Bovino out. I'm glad he's sending Homan in and an unspecified number of ICE. Major, major error. Major. You cannot pull back against this. You have to double down, but with focused, grouped, disciplined, smart talking points, not Trump mumbling something in an interview and J.D. Vance shows up one day and then goes home. Meanwhile, folks, there's what Democrats gained this weekend. A new right. A right, if you're a liberal and you're mad, to go ahead and interfere in a federal investigation, in a federal police operation. The moment Alex Pretty made physical contact with the first CBP officer, he committed a forcible federal felony, good for 8 years in a federal prison under 18 USC 111. So from that point on, CBP was making the arrest of a violent felony suspect. Okay, when you resist arrest in a felony with force, that's felony number two. You do that while armed. Wow. You're going to be lucky if you come out of it alive. He didn't. This is the conversation we should be having this morning. Had Kristi Noem and Greg Bovino not gone out there for some bizarre reason and claimed that the guy was planning a massacre, when anybody watching the video could clearly tell, despite all those felonies he just committed, he was not planning to conduct a massacre. Well, folks, the difference between the left-wing media, all they do is lie, and our media is that our side will hold our side accountable, and Bill Mnuchin did. It was devastating for Team Trump. You can't find a bigger supporter of Customs and Border Patrol and ICE agents than Bill Mnuchin at Fox News. That's why he gets all the scoops. They love him. They trust him. Here's what they told him. And folks, this ran wall to wall in the liberal mainstream media. Since yesterday's deadly shooting in Minnesota, he says he's talked to senior law enforcement, those in senior positions who tell me they've grown increasingly uneasy and frustrated with some of the claims and narratives Department of Homeland Security pushed in the aftermath of the shooting. Specifically, he writes, I'm told there's extreme frustration with Department of Homeland Security officials going on TV and putting out statements claiming that Alex Pretty was intending to conduct a massacre of federal agents or wanted to carry out maximum damage, even after numerous videos appeared to show those claims were inaccurate. They say it was a terrible decision to show up with a gun and inject himself into federal law enforcement operations. There's no indication Pretty was there to murder law enforcement. As videos appear to show, he never drew his holstered firearm. Now, listen to this. These sources say this messaging from Department of Homeland Security officials has been catastrophic from a PR and morale perspective, and it's eroding trust and credibility. They compared it to when Democrats falsely claimed the border was closed or that Haitians were being whipped at the border. Some of those sources have described Department of Homeland Security's response to the shootings as a case study on how not to do crisis PR. Folks, what is the problem here? Donald Trump is a narcissist. In fact, I think it's one of his chief selling points. One of the things I loved about him from the moment he came down the elevator, I immediately backed and supported him. What do narcissists love? I have one in my family. I know them very well. They love a fight. They'll spend weeks plotting how to get into a fight because it charges them up. The rest of us run from it. It's our instinct. We don't want to be in a fight. They love to be in a fight. We needed a fighter. That's the upside of Trump. It comes with a downside. All narcissists also have. They need and want attention desperately. And so Trump likes to do all his own PR on every one of hundreds of issues, and he won't relinquish it. Folks, we are up against a Marxist insurgency with an incredible PR arm. The plan cannot be Greg Bovino, who, by the way, folks, is just he's a really good one, a border sector chief. He's not a PR specialist. Yeah, Greg will go out there. He'll put some tweets out, and maybe Christie will say a few words. And nobody will come together to plot any kind of strategy here. And Trump will just say some things. That's not going to work. And that is why in the most recent CNN poll, 61% of Americans say that ICE has gone too far. The truth is they have not gone far enough. But we're losing the messaging war. Why? Because Trump, after holding a press conference saying, hey, we found $200 million in funding, a lot of it from the Chinese Communist Party for these liberal groups 2 weeks ago, did nothing and then skipped off to Davos. No messaging, nothing. So Trump considers messaging on Minneapolis to be, you know, maybe if a reporter asks a question about it at, you know, the pressers for those big events. We're getting our ass handed to us right now. And folks, the saddest part about this, this is a perfect opportunity to finally show these Americans, look, I mean, you got Marxists biting the finger out over the weekend. It's the top of the finger off of a Border Patrol agent. Where's the video for that? Folks, there's got to be Border Patrol video for it. A lot of them have it. Put it front and center. The left would have by now. Can you imagine if one of us bit off the finger of an officer on January 6th? We'd never hear the end of it. Nothing. The first time I realized Team Trump is not tuned in enough to these issues to be doing PR, which they're really not doing, was last week when Donald Trump was asked about Renee Good being shot by that border agent. And he says, well, I think he hit her. I heard the thud in the video. And I'm like, dude, there's been a Ring camera video out for 4 days now. It had already gotten more than 200,000 views on my X feed, showing her hit him hard, showing him on the roof of her car as she forcibly plowed through him and took him with her for 10 to 15 feet, which is why he had the internal bleeding. Trump hadn't seen it. He didn't know it was out there. It was trending all over X, or had been, and then it died down. That's how old it was. It was 4 days old. Trump didn't know. If you don't know, you can't do your own PR. And that's okay. You can't do your own PR on every issue, but you got to let it go. You got to let other people have some time in the sunlight in front of the cameras if we're going to win, and they're not. And so to pull Kristi Noem and Bovino out gives these communist cells the victory they so desperately wanted. And that's so painful. Bovino didn't deserve that. He was doing messaging that shouldn't have even been his job. By the way, you know, they took his Twitter account. Trump should have set up a war room with focus groups like the Democrats had and message discipline like the Democrats have and surrogates, dozens and dozens of them out there doing podcasts, out there doing television shows, but he didn't do any of it. And we got what we deserve. We got our ass handed to us. It's got to go better next time because nobody's talking about the felonies that Alex Pretty committed. And you know what that means? Fair game. If you're a leftist, not one of us, a leftist, and you don't like things, you can now bring your gun and commit all the felonies that you want. This has been normalized. That's what the price of failing to message is. You lose. And this, folks, this isn't going to work. This is chaos.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.